Well, he's supposed to. I don't know if he has it yet or not. Can you smell it? Well, we tried the rock and roll. We tried the rock and roll, and then I think Ken hooked it up, and it was Christian. So we'll see. We'll see what does the best work. The title of this message is "Born to Know God's Will," and Joanne asked a question as we were sitting here before, you know, a little while ago. She said, "Well, a lot of people wonder why they're born." And I said, you know, I'm starting to understand it. You know what? I'm going to make the statement, and here's the title for the message. And it could take a while before it registers, but after a while, it registers. I'm starting to understand. They that understand will instruct many. Well, here goes. We were born to know God's Word. We were created to know God's Word. We were born to know God's Word. How do I know that? Can you think of any reasons why I could say that? Blessed is the man who delights in the law, which is the Word of God. Who delights in it. Whose delight, that's what it says, whose delight is in the Word of God. And in this Word does he meditate day and night. If God blesses that man, does he have a reason for it? So then I ran into those two things, and I want to re-emphasize them tonight. In Psalms, or in Proverbs, Isaiah. I'll get it here after a while. Isaiah 59:21. As for me, saith the, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. So we know where it came from. The Lord is behind this covenant. Here's a covenant that he makes with somebody. My spirit that is upon you, and my words that I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, from henceforth and forever. So how long is this covenant? From henceforth and forever. Henceforth. From this time forth and forever. Hence. Right now. And so that's the covenant. It's a strange covenant, isn't it? Here's a covenant I'm going to make with you. My word shall not depart out of your mouth. What kind of a covenant is that? And so then in Hebrews 8, 10, and 10, 16. There are two easy verses to remember. 8, 10, and 10, 16. And in both of them, it begins by saying, and this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. I will put my word, my laws, my word, in their minds and write them on their hearts. In one place it says, I will put them in their hearts and write them on their minds. So I'm not sure if it makes a difference. But what is happening to us? The Word of God is being written carefully on our hearts and in our hearts and on our minds. I have been transformed because of it. I never would have believed it. I never would have guessed. No, not to believe is not the right word. I never would have guessed the outcome or what would begin to happen. And so God had a covenant after the law. See, after those days, after the fulfillment of the law, after the law, I have a covenant with them. The first was a covenant, but it was not. It was only. It was a fleshly covenant. After those days, this is a covenant that I will make with them. I will write my word in their minds and upon their hearts. What is happening to us? Unless we get too proud or full of pride in our own conceits. Romans 12:1, I read that this morning, where God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, you don't got to read it to get it right. Romans, okay, 12:1. I got the little marker in there, and I got it so it could be either page. And I always turn the wrong direction. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Is that kind of all-inclusive? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Boy, that's quite a call, isn't it? But you know what? The next sentence is the one that does you in. If that's not bad enough, here's the next sentence. And that is your reasonable service. So here we are. We're listening to God's word day and night. We have all kinds of scripture that tell us to do that. So we're not doing anything exceptional. And it hit me. So lest we think that we are the exceptions in it, or that this is an exceptional thing, you know what the answer is? That's our reasonable service. That's what we should be doing. That's what the entire church should be doing. And I'm wondering if Matthew 7:14, where it says that a few there be that find it, I'm wondering if the finding it does not have to do with what we are finding. I'm wondering if you can find God without finding His Word. Are you with me? Am I stirring up your thinking? I'm wondering if we can find God without finding His Word or being led into the Word. Anyway, that's not all there is to say extra, but that's all I'll say at this point. Let's see if the machine keeps working here. Born to know God's Word. There is no way that me or anyone else can possibly understand any of God's motives, or why He created what He did, or the reason that He created man, and especially in God's own image, or exactly what that means. We've tossed that around in ourselves, trying to figure out what, you know, in God's image. God is invisible. So if we're in our minds to be have an image, no wonder He says you should not make any graven image. What kind of an image do we build? Or what kind of a house do we build for God? And yet it is becoming obvious from the scriptures that God has created man with a potential of developing characteristics that are like God's own divine nature. By these exceeding precious and promises, we can become partakers of God's divine nature. However, to many people, that verse in 2 Peter 1:4 is sort of, it would be nice if something like that happened. It would be nice. Only it's a promise. And yet, when we are told that Jesus was and is the expressed image of the invisible God, and we saw Jesus' disciples, or the first real Christians in the book of Acts, manifesting the same nature or the same power image of God. And 2 Timothy 3:5 warns us to turn away from anyone or any group that denies the power nature of God and tries to falsely imitate it. It becomes obvious that the expression of God's power and authority is the divine will of God. God wants His power and His authority and His will to be manifested. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 4:20 tells us, I can't read my own writing, but 1 Corinthians 4:20 tells us that the kingdom of God is not in words. How about not in enticing words of men's wisdom? But rather, it is the expression of God's divine power. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians 2, 1-4, Paul reminded the Corinthian church. He said that he did not first come to them with great words of men's wisdom, enticing words of men's wisdom, but rather in a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and with power. I don't know if it's a possibility that James will hear this, but I am amazed at in a few short days that the change that has taken place in this man. And you know what it reminds me of? And I told Joanne, it reminds me of 50 years ago. I was so in love with the Word of God that I read it day and night. I sat and I cried and I laughed. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit and listened to this idiot on the radio that I had been listening to every day, and he said that if you speak in tongues today, it's from the devil. And anyway, he just threw me for a loop, and I went to work, and there was no work. And I went into my room, and I sat there, depressed. And the Bible sat where I always left it, on the counter. And I picked up the Bible. And I know you don't do this, you know, intentionally. I picked up the Bible, and I opened it to the passage where it says in Luke 11, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? And I thought, what I received, I was not asking the devil for. So anyway, the reason he came with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and with power is so that men's faith would be in God and in His power rather than in the foolish and ignorance of men's enticing words of wisdom. What have I listened to most of my years? When I was first saved and introduced to the real kingdom of God, I saw the power of Acts 1:8. We saw it manifested. I did not make the power take place, but rather that is what God does. I saw a miracle take place and a supernatural expression of God's power to call men into His kingdom. I have realized since that even though many were and are called, most of them, see, many are called, but few are chosen. Many of them will not endure to the end, and therefore only a few will end up being saved. Are we starting to understand that? Many are called, but only few are chosen, because they're not going to endure. They're not going to keep listening to the Scriptures. It's going to fall on some thorny soil and some rocky soil and thorns and thorny. Is there such a thing as thorny soil, I suppose? And so, God is not of the anything goes mentality that a lot of churchgoers see Him as. It's not that anything goes, and in fact, is so truth oriented, so that He brought forth His only ever begotten Son with the express purpose of only bearing witness to His own truth as God the Creator sees truth. See, as God sees truth. Pilate says, what is truth? Well, the only one you ask is God. What is truth? Jesus said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. So this word is truth. And the reason it is truth, whether we like it or not, is because God backs it up. And so I don't want to be one who tries to change it and monkey or play games with truth. I was thinking the other day, and I wrote it down here somewhere, I really don't care anymore what all the king's men and all the king's horses think and teach. I think I said something about that this morning. But what I do want is I want to go to the one that made the king's horses and the king's men and find out what he teaches. And so Jesus said, I was born and I was sent. Well, then you and I may do things by accident or be born of the will of the flesh. But it says in John 1:13, which we're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. Well, the point that we need to see and understand is that God has told us, has total understanding, which means that when he created whatever he created, he did it for reasons that only he knows.